Be turning your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I got to go out to the rest home this week, Tuesday, and I took Jeff's place. Jeff preaches out there every other Tuesday. And so he was gone, had to go to the take Cassidy to the doctor, and so I took his place out there, had a good little group out there, and I enjoyed it. I preached on this. I preached on God is a good God. God is a good God. And you know what? God is good.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, God is good all the time. I said God is good in His creation. God is good in His character. And God is good in His charity. Charity is what He does. His character is what He is. His creation is what He made. And I preached on that, and that just came to my mind this morning, how good God is. And all the time, and whenever we don't deserve it. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for the rain. 2 Peter chapter number 1, we're going to start reading in verse number 16. We're going to read down to the end of the chapter, but we will take 16, 17, 18 for some text verse. I'm going to preach to you as best I can from verse number 16 on this subject, cunningly devised fables. Cunningly devised fables. That's what it says in verse 16. Start reading in verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Let's stop right there. I want to show you what He's talking about. Hold your place right there and turn back to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and I want to read about five or six verses there. This is what He was talking about. When He's talking about they heard a voice from the Holy Mount, He's talking about on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, His three closest disciples. He took them up with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says He was transfigured before them. In other words, He took on another form. He took on another form. He was in His glorified body. And what they saw there, they're getting a glimpse. They're getting a preview of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In other words, this is what Jesus is going to look like whenever He comes back the second time. Matthew 17, verse number 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth him up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. That's where he took on another form, a future form that He's going to take on in the future. He was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. You see, everybody, everything about Jesus Christ is perfect. Everything about Him is righteous and holy. We can't imagine how righteous and how pure and how holy God is. That's why He hates sin so bad. That's why He hates sin so bad, because I showed the people in Sunday school this morning a picture of how God is all the way over on the right. Verse number 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for Thee and one for Moses, one for Elias. And while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. It goes on down through there, but we'll stop there. Let's go back to 2 Peter. That's what he's talking about there. When he said, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty, verse number 16. And the holy mount there, verse number 18. His voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount. See, they had a vision. They saw Jesus Christ in His glorified body, and then they heard His voice. They heard His voice. Cunningly devised fables. Let's read on down through verse, through the end of the chapter. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We'll take those verses there, verse number 16 for a text verse. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. Amen. Father, we ask your blessing upon our time here this morning. And Father, we pray that you'd help us today. God, we just pray the Spirit of God would help us. And Lord, like the song says, pass us not, O Lord Jesus, pass us not, O gentle Savior. Please come and meet with us and help us. And God, deal with us and touch our hearts, God. God, we need you. Our hearts are cold. Our hearts are cold, God, and we need a touch from God. God, we need to be revived. God, please come and meet with us and touch us, God, and help us and help me to preach this morning. Father, God, if you don't help me, I don't have any help. God, I don't have the gift of gab. God, I don't have anything that of my own that would help me. And if you don't help us, God, then we won't be what we ought to be. So please help us now and bless these words and bless your people today. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Apostle Peter here said, we're not just giving you a bunch of fables. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, is what he said. In other words, we're telling you what, when we were on the Holy Mount, what we saw there is not just a bunch of fables. We really did see something. We really did see something. We didn't just invent something. We didn't just, you know, pluck something out of thin air. It's not a fairy tale that we saw. We saw Jesus. We were in the Holy Mount with Jesus. He was transfigured before us, and we saw him there. And so when we're telling you about it, we're not telling you a fairy tale. It's not a fable. They were with him in the Holy Mount, and they saw him in his glorified body. I wish we could, you know, just somehow just get a glimpse of that. Maybe it would help us. Because, you know, we've got a book here with, my Bible's not even, I don't even have a red letter edition, you know. It's a black cover and black letters and white pages. See, that's all we've got. See, the Bible says we're supposed to live by faith. And we don't have this business of being able to see stuff with our eyes. And we think that, oh, if I could just see it, it would help me so much. Or you know, a lot of people say, if I could hear a voice from heaven. They heard his voice here, see. His voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We're not going to hear a voice. We're not going to see Jesus until the right time. Until then, we've got to use this book here. This black covered book with black letters in it and white pages. Nothing fancy about it. Just live by faith. Just believe what he says. They said, we have not spoken to you cunningly devised fables. And when they were there, they got a preview of what Jesus is going to look like whenever he comes again at the second coming in his glorified body, whenever he returns to earth, you see. That wouldn't be at the rapture, but that would be the revelation. And I trust that most of you know the difference between the rapture and the revelation. When he actually comes down to the earth and he will set on a throne and rule and reign from Jerusalem. And he will rule and reign there for 1,000 years of peace on the earth. And we say that, and people scoff at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Look in your Bibles there to just across the page to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. See, people scoff and they say, oh, you've been talking about that second coming business. You've been talking about that for 100 years. You've been talking about it for 1,000 years. You've been talking about it for all this time and it never has happened. It never is going to happen. That's just a fable. That's what people think many times about the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I don't believe that it's a fable. See, I'm one of those who does believe the Bible. As I tell people all the time, God Almighty is not walking around on the earth here. Jesus Christ is not down here in the flesh telling people what to do. If he's not down here telling people what to do and he's not, you know, how are people going to know what to do? You see, the way we know what to do is from the Bible. We've got a book here. God gave it to us. And it's not a fable. A fable is a fairy tale. It's something that's not true. That's what a fable is. He said, we have not spoken to you cunningly devised fables. Bible says there'll come a time when people will believe in fables. Turn your Bibles back a little bit to 2 Timothy. Just a little bit back to the left in chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy 4, 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know who he's talking about there? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about people in churches. People in pews. That's who he's talking about. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto what? They'll be turned unto fables. Don't preach us anything hard. Don't preach us anything doctrinal or anything like that. Just give us some stories. And we don't care if they're true or not. We just came in to sit down and feel better about ourselves. We're going to get up and walk right out. You see, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Fables, stories, fairy tales that are not true, kind of like evolution. Evolution, I call that a fairy tale for grown-ups. That's what evolution is. Atheism is a fairy tale. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. Every creation has to have a creator. Every structure has to have an architect. It has to have a designer. It has to have a builder. It has to have materials, except for God. God didn't need any materials. Whenever he created all things, he just spoke and it came into existence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that verse from verse number 1 to Revelation 22, 21. Evolution is a fairy tale. There is a God in heaven, you see. God created without materials. He speaks and it is done. He is the creator. But folks, there are a lot of fables out there. There are a lot of fairy tales that people adhere to. Here are some fables. How about this one? Jesus Christ died on Good Friday. Jesus died on Good Friday. I don't have time to preach on that, but Jesus did not die on Friday. He died on Wednesday. He didn't die on Friday, but the whole world, almost the whole world, celebrates Good Friday. That's a fable. That's not true. How about Santa Claus? Santa Claus, is that true or is that a fable? You know, any of y'all still believe in Santa Claus? Okay, got one back here. But still believe in Santa Claus? Coming down the chimney, you know? Coming down the chimney. We can say a lot about Santa Claus. You can take the word Santa Claus, Santa, and you can wake the word Satan out of it. You know that? S-A-T-A-N. Cunningly devised fables, that's what these are. Baptismal regeneration, that's a fable. That's a fable that you can get saved by getting baptized. Here's another fable. All religions are good. All religions are good, and they all lead to God. Another fable is this, that you're supposed to worship Mary. No, you're not supposed to worship Mary. Mary's the mother of God. No, she's not. Mary's the mother of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Mary is sinless. No, she's not. None of these things. You see, those are just fables, but see, they're out there. There are hundreds of other fables, like Holy Father, Holy Papa, Holy Water, Holy City. Let me tell you something, folks. What's holy is in the Bible, not over in Rome. That kind of stuff is not holy. You see, no matter how they try to make it holy. Let us ask ourselves about this fable. A fable. Something that's not true, a fairy tale. This whole thing about salvation, about Christianity, about God creating all things, about God having a son. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. Is all that real, or is that a fable? Is that real to you, or is it a fable? Is that real to us? Then why are most of us so complacent about it? Why are we so complacent about the things of God if they're real, if they're not fables? It seems like we are so complacent. How about the Holy Bible? How about the Holy Bible? Is that a fable? A big book? See, I've got one of them big ones. I got one of them big ones, you know, 15-pound Bible I carry around, see? And that thing goes from front to back there, see? But is that a fable? If it's not a fable, if it's true, do I live like it? What do you think? Do you think about that King James Bible you've got in front of you? I hope you've got a King James Bible. Do you think is that a fable to you? Or is it real? Let me ask you something. If it's real, do you live like it? Do you live like it's real, or do you live like it's a fable? You see, there's a lot of Christians. They don't pay much attention to the Bible. They think it's true, but they don't pay much attention. Man, let me tell you something. If this book is true right here, if this book is true, this Holy Bible right here, the Holy Scriptures, if this thing is true, man, there are some wild things in that Bible. I mean, man, there are some wild things. There's some wild things in the past. There's some wild things in the future that's going to come to pass. If that thing is true, that Jesus that they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, we're all going to see Him. We're all going to stand before Him. See, life is not going to go on just like it is today, sort of like humdrum and sort of like a lot of times kind of boring, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to go on like that forever. Things are going to change one of these days. Brother, if that Bible is true, man, there are some wild things there. And in the past, like the Red Sea opened up, the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. The River Jordan opened up and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. Brother, one time the sun stood still and the moon stayed. One time in the book of Isaiah, the earth turned backwards and they lost time. How much was it? About 40 minutes, I believe it was. I mean, some wild things in that book. It's hard to imagine that things like that are in there. Not only the things in the past, but there's things in the future. Things in the future like Jesus Christ, when He comes back, He's going to ride down through the sky on a white horse. Revelation chapter 19 in verse number 11. I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. You see, all kinds of things like that. Man, if the Bible's true, Jesus is going to come in the clouds here pretty soon, one day soon. It's got to come soon. We've got 6,000 years of recorded history. 6,000 years have passed since God made Adam there and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. 6,000 years. The millennial kingdom surely has to be in the seventh 1,000 years of history. I mean, brother, that's close. That has to be soon. You see, why are we so complacent about things if it's not a fairy tale. He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Mark of the beast, 666, all that's coming upon the earth. One of these days we're going to have a new miraculous body. We'll know everything and we'll know everybody. Have you got any enemies? You got any enemies? Are your enemies saved? What are you going to do when you meet them up in heaven? You know, somebody didn't like you or didn't like you, or you had a fuss, you know. How are you going to react whenever you see them? I wonder if that's going to be gone. I wonder if that's going to be gone. A miraculous body where you know everything. Man, I'll be glad to get that. I'll be glad to get that. You know, a body that's never going to grow old. No aches and pains. You got any aches and pains in your body? I don't have any, but I'm sure maybe some folks do. I don't have any. You believe that? I don't have any aches and pains. Amen. Three things about fables, cunningly devised fable. Number one, their source. Where do they come from? Where do they come from? They come from the minds of those who don't believe the Bible. And ultimately, it's the devil that is behind cunningly devised fable. Folks, if we don't have a pure, holy Bible, if we don't have a pure, holy, and true Bible, then we don't know what is a fable. We don't know what a fable is, you see. We've got to have a pure, holy Bible. You know, like almost every church, they sprinkle babies. They sprinkle babies. Is that in the Bible? There's not one illustration of baby sprinkling in the Bible. Not a one, you see. But yet, people believe it, see. Where'd they get that? Well, they just got it out of their head or something like that, see. If we've got to have a Bible that tells us what's true and what's not true. And so the millions of people believe these things. Their source, they come from people who do not believe the Bible. They get these things from outside the Bible. Number two is their success, the success of cunningly devised fables. Millions of people believe in fables. I'm going to go back here to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13 and 14, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13 and 14, it says this. For wide is the gate. It says, enter ye in at the gate, straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Circle the word many. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You'll know up there, notice up there in verse number 13, that many will take the broad way. Many will take the way to destruction. Many will go in thereat. But he says in verse 14 that few will find the right way. He's not saying that it's hard to get saved. He's not saying that. He's just saying that there's only one way. And people have to hear about that one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But people can't stand the fact that there's only one way. I heard, I never watch her. I've never seen a full show of Oprah Winfrey or anything like that. I can't stand all that kind of stuff. But she said one time, she said that there can't be just one way to heaven. That's what she said. I heard her say it. There can't be just one way to heaven, because what about all of these other people here? What about them? Well, they just happen to be wrong. The Bible says the way is straight. It's not hard. It's not hard to go in. It's just that there's only one of them, see. There's not all kinds of different ways. God didn't make a bunch of different ways. There are not a bunch of Saviors out there. There's only one Savior, and His name is Jesus. And that's all there is to it. And people have got to take that way, but they say, no, my religion is good. My religion will lead me to God. No, my religion will lead me to heaven. No, it won't. Nobody's religion will save anything, you see. No, it's not hard to get saved. But it's just the fact that it's narrow because there's only one way there. There's only one Savior. There's only been one cross. There's only been one place in Jerusalem. God Almighty is, he's real picky about what he does. I'm searching in my mind for the word, but the word is not coming up. But he is, he does things a certain way. He only picked one planet on earth. Why are there not planets out there that are populated? Tell me. If evolution is true, why hasn't life sprung up out there on another planet? If life adapts to its surroundings, what's the matter? Haven't those planets been there long enough? They've been there as long as the earth has been here, probably. They're all out there circling around the sun. They never run into each other. And somebody thinks that's just a big accident. That's the craziest thing. You've got to be insane to believe those things. Absolutely insane. But God chose one place right here on planet Earth. He called this place Earth, and he chose this one place. Why did he choose it? Because he's going to bring his Son down here, and he's going to redeem mankind. Not only did he only choose one place, one planet Earth, but one little spot on that planet, one red spot, right outside the walls of Jerusalem. That's what he chose, right there. He dug a hole, put a pole in it, a cross, and his Son was nailed up to that cross. That's where God redeemed mankind. He didn't do it anywhere else. He didn't do it in Cairo, Egypt. He didn't do it in Baghdad. He didn't do it in London. No, he did it in Jerusalem, right outside the city walls. Only one man was born of a virgin, see? Only one. Not a whole bunch of them. Only one man was worthy. Only one man was sinless that he could die on the cross and bear your sins and my sins. If it's a man who is sinned one time, he is not worthy. He cannot die on the cross. He'd have to die for his own sins. It has to be a sinless man up there. That's God Almighty in flesh, in human flesh, you see, who did what you and I couldn't do. He lived a sinless life and bore our sins right there in one spot, on one cross, at one time in history. And he paid for the sins of the entire human race for all time. When you die, when you got saved, your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. If they're not, let me ask you something. Do you want to take care of those sins that happened after you get saved? You want to take care of those yourself? What if you forget one? What if you sin and you don't even know it's a sin? I'll bet you we sin all the time and we don't even know it. You see? The only way you get in is on His righteousness. The righteousness of that man on that cross. That's the only way you get in. You get in on somebody else's goodness. Because you don't have any of your own, you see. You see, God is that's that word still doesn't come to my mind. I've got it written down somewhere in my Bible. But he's real picky, see. He only picked one planet, one place on that planet, one city, Jerusalem. One man died on that cross. One man was born of a virgin. He died, they took him down, put him in a tomb, sealed it up. 3 days later, he's raised from the dead. Let me ask you something. Is that a fable? Is that a fable? Then let's not be complacent about it. You see, that's not a fable. Does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit about those things? Does the Spirit of God just rise up in you and say, that's true? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, one of the ways you know that you're saved, you know, the first way you know you're saved is from the Bible. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's 1 John 5:13. That's how you know you're saved. The Bible says so. But how else can you know that you're saved? The Bible says His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that these things are true, that the gospel is true, that the Bible is true? Does the Spirit of God on the inside say, that's right, that's the truth? You see, whenever you got saved and you heard the gospel, was not the Spirit of God in there? Was not the Spirit of God coming upon you and saying, that's true and I want that? That's true and I want that, see? Spirit of God bears witness to the truth of the Holy Bible, of the Holy Scriptures. That's true. That's true, he says. He goes with the Scriptures. Amen. You see, millions of people, I think that was the point I'm on. I said, first off, the source of cunningly devised fables is people that don't believe the Bible, and ultimately it's the devil. And the success of cunningly devised fables, people believe them. People believe them. Folks, listen to me. A lot of people, they just think any religion is okay. They don't check it out with the Bible. They're not going to spend any time. They think they've got a priest up there somewhere, and he'll tell them everything that's okay. You got a Bible in your hand, you can read. You check it out and make sure that somebody's telling you the truth. That's what you're supposed to do. Amen. You see, if we're going to tell you a lie, then we wouldn't encourage you to read the Bible. You read the Bible for yourself. Amen. You read the Bible, you're supposed to read the Bible for yourself. I'm supposed to read the Bible for myself. Get your Bible and wear it out and get you another one. He said there in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13, he said, many there be which go in thereat. There are many people who believe a fairy tale, a fable. There's many people that do that. But then on the other hand, he said, few there be that go to the narrow way, to the right way. A few, just a few. I'll give you a third point. What happens whenever people believe fables instead of the truth? You cannot believe just anything and go to heaven. You can't just believe anything. Turn your Bibles, if you're still in 2 Peter, go back to the left a little bit to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's read a few verses there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look, let's begin reading in verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 8. It's talking about when the Antichrist comes. And when that wicked be revealed, let's stop there. Look at that word wicked. It's got a capital W on it. It's talking about that a particular wicked man, the Antichrist. When that wicked be revealed, one of these days he will be revealed. The Antichrist is not revealed yet. When that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, see, that'd be when Jesus comes, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because, why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They heard the truth, but they don't want the truth. They said, no, I've got a better idea. I've got something else I'm going to believe. I've got a better way than your way. You see, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. No, they said, we're not going to take that way. We've got a better way. We're pretty good people. Our religion is good. Our religion will lead us to God. All religions are good. That is what is said. He says, verse number 11, for this cause. Why? Because they would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. In other words, if people want to believe a lie, God said, okay, you can have your lie. You can have your lie. He does not force anybody to believe the truth. He puts it out there. But if you don't believe it, he said, okay, you don't want my way, I'll let you have your way. That's what he says. He shall send them strong delusion. He will let them be deceived. You say, oh, I just think God's a good God and He wouldn't let anybody be deceived. God doesn't force anybody to do anything. He does not force anyone to believe anything. He puts it out there, but you don't have to believe it. Same way with serving God. You don't have to. You don't want to do it? Fine. You don't have to. It's a volunteer thing. But see, what we do, what we decide, has consequences. Another verse. Verse number 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, a deception, a fable, if you will. They should believe a lie, a cunningly devised fable. Something that the devil has cooked up to deceive them. A cunningly devised fable, a fairy tale. God said, I will allow you to believe that if that's what you choose. Verse number 12, that they all might be damned. They're going to hell. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. See, you cannot believe just anything and go to heaven. Believe, believe, believe. Believe what? You got to believe the right thing and you've got to put your faith in the right place. And that is in a person, Jesus Christ. That's where your faith has to be. In a person. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, what happens when people believe fables instead of the truth? God will let people believe a lie. The Bible says many, many, many will be lost. Few will be saved. 2 Peter, turn your Bibles to the right. Revelation 21. Next to the last chapter in Revelation, Revelation 21 and verse number 8. It says, Revelation 21, 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These are unrepentant, lost, unsaved people. I want to show you right now, I want to show you the scariest verse in the Bible. Have you ever thought, have you ever read anything in the Bible that scared you? I hope you have. The scariest chapter in the Bible is Deuteronomy chapter 28, which God wrote for the purpose for the Jewish people. And they have experienced Deuteronomy chapter 28 for the last 2,000 years. You ought to read it sometime. It is a scary chapter. The scariest verse in the Old Testament is in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But the scariest verse to me is in Matthew chapter 25, if you want to turn over there. Matthew 25, 41. Here is one of the scariest verse in the New Testament. Matthew 25, 41. Here's Jesus speaking. This is at what is called in the Bible the judgment of the nations. The judgment of the nations, which takes place when Jesus Christ comes. Let me talk to you for just a minute. Whenever Jesus Christ comes, He's coming on a white horse. We're going to come with Him, everybody that's saved. We're going to leave heaven after being up there for 7 years while the tribulation period is going on the earth. And we're going to ride behind Jesus Christ. We're going to come down. He's going to confront the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. And as soon as He destroys the Antichrist and delivers and saves Jerusalem from the Antichrist and the few Jews that are left on the earth, they're going to be saved. Then He's going to set up a throne somewhere around Jerusalem. And there He is going to bring all of the nations that are left alive on the earth. He's going to bring them and they're going to stand before Him. And He's going to judge those nations. I'm not positive if it's all the people of the nations or representative of the nations. And He's going to judge those people, those nations. It's called the judgment of the nations. It's not for you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it whenever people say, point out to you Matthew chapter number 25, sheep on the right hand, goats on the left. I was telling people in Sunday school, you don't want to be a left-wing radical. You know, politically. I hope you're on the right. Get over to the right as far as you can go. That's where God is. That's where the Bible is. Jesus Christ does not sit on the left hand of God up in heaven. He sits on the right hand of God. He's God's right-hand man. But see, now in our world politically, we have these left-wing radicals. leftists. They call them leftist radicals. You see. But anyway, back to the judgment of the nations. And he will set the sheep on his right hand. He will set the goats on his left hand. Are you a sheep this morning, or are you a goat? You not have to go through this. This is not for you. This is not for Christians. You get saved, you're saved forever. You don't have to go through this. This is for during the tribulation period for those who are left, the nations that are left. They're left there, and they're judged by Jesus Christ. You know what the criteria for his judging them is? How did you treat my people, the Jews, in the tribulation period? You just read it. You can read it, and you'll see. And those who were good to the Jews, he puts them on his right. Those who were not good to the Jews, he puts them on the left. Those who are on the left, read what it says in verse number 41. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, what does he say? Depart from me. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Isn't that what he says? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angel. Let me read it again. Verse 41, Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Left, see, why would anybody want to be on the left? Man, get out of the left and get on the right. Get on the right. See, God is right. The Bible is right. Get over there where God is. Amen. That's right, see. You're going to be a right-wing radical. See, I'm a right-wing radical. I am not a leftist radical. They're crazy. He said, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. See, that's the scariest verse in the New Testament to me. That's for people who believe a lie. You know what happens to people who believe a lie, who believe fables? You can't just believe anything and go to heaven. You got to believe on Jesus Christ. I don't have time to go some more, but see, another fable is that there is no hell. That's another fable. Yeah, there's a hell. I never have been one to want to call Jesus Christ a liar. See, anybody doesn't believe in hell, they'd be calling Jesus Christ a liar. In our world, there are many cunningly devised fables. Let me ask you something. How do you live? How do you live? Do you live like the Bible is a fable or Christianity is a fable? Or are you truly saved? I hope you're not believing in a fable. In a fable. Amen. Let's bear our